I want to talk tonight about a subject that is very important. Unforgiveness is the enemy of faith. In fact, I'm taking this from my little booklet, Unforgiveness. I preach these messages and they put them into a book and I never preach them again. And the Lord has dealt with me that these are good things that people need to hear. So I've been going back and just sort of getting excerpts from the book. It's out there if you're interested in it. But Mark 11, 22, that's what this ministry is founded on. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Literal translation of that is have the God kind of faith. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done for him, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now everybody gets excited about these three verses of Scripture, and they should, but I want you to notice that Jesus is talking here, and there in verse 22, and he didn't stop at the end of 24. He goes on in verse 25 and says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. These verses go together. I want you to notice that here in verse 25, he's calling, you know, he's talking about if you have anything against anyone, that's a grudge, holding a grudge against somebody and unforgiveness. Really, actually, it's a sin to do that. And some people say, well, I just can't forgive. Or I will forgive, but I'm not going to forget it. Well, if you don't forget it, you didn't forgive. You know, the Amplified Bible says this, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, let it drop, leave it, let it go. I want you to notice that he uses a conjunction here between 24 and 25, the conjunction and. After, you know, 24 says, therefore I say, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And that's joining verse 25 with verse 24, isn't it? Isn't that what and does? It joins together. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Of course, what we read is there from the Amplified says, forgive him, let it drop, let it go, leave it alone. And but somebody said, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, let me ask you a question. Have they hung you on a cross yet? I don't think so. And Jesus hanging on the cross said, forgive them because they don't understand what they're doing. You know, when somebody says something about you and say, I'm not going to let them get away with that. They're not going to make me look like a fool. You know, and then out of the other side of your mouth, you say, oh, Lord, I thank you that you're blessing me and that you're meeting all my needs. There is no way that you can say that here and turn around and say this and expect it to happen. It can't happen. Amen. Come on. See, then you go on down verse 26. But I want you to notice there. But join things together. But if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. Boy, guys, it gets quiet when you start talking like that because I'm getting down, I'm messing in your wheelhouse right now. I'm getting down there where you live, you know. But Jesus is talking to the believers that have the God kind of faith. And, you know, but I want you to understand, you can talk about faith all you want to, but faith won't work for you if you have unforgiveness in your heart. That's what, I didn't say it, that's what Jesus said right here in Mark 11. That's Jesus talking. You know, I know that there's some people, you start preaching on unforgiveness, they get up and walk out of the church, bless God, I'm not going to listen to that. That's not faith. That's negative. I'm not going to listen to that. Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret. Feeding on just one part of the Word of God will harm you. You need a balanced diet for the spiritual man, just like you need a balanced diet for the natural man. You know, I remember back whenever I was in elementary school, which was just a few years ago. What are y'all laughing about? But I do remember that they used to talk to us about a balanced diet, and they would show us the different foods that we need to eat for our bodies. And then they'd show us a guy that just ate, you know, pies and cakes and sweets and stuff all the time, and they become weak and fat. They'd show us a picture of that. The same is true with the spiritual man. If you're feasting the spiritual man just on one part, I don't care what it is, faith, prosperity, whatever it is, if you're feeding that, you're not getting a balanced diet of the Word of God, and you become imbalanced in what you're believing. And what happens to people when they become imbalanced in their believing spiritually? Most of the time they go off what I call go off the deep end. They get way out here, way off, you know. Unforgiveness is why many people don't get their prayers answered. And now, you know, I'm talking about how people get off through harboring or just through imbalance, and also through harboring. When you harbor something that somebody has done to you, you know, let me give you this. Several years ago, there was a student. He is having problems, and so he's a good student, and we knew he knew the Word of God, so we asked him, you know, hey, are you living right? You know, and yeah, no problem. And then finally, I asked him, I said, what about forgiveness? Are you walking in love and forgiveness? Has anybody done anything to you that you feel like you've been wrong? Yes, they have. My roommate, he decided to move out, and we made a pact that we were going to live together for the entire school year. And now he's moving out. And I just don't like it. I'm upset with him. I'm holding it against him because he's not holding it up his end of the bargain. And I told him, I said, hey, man, forget it and just go on. Hey, if you need a roommate, find another one. You're going to get in trouble if you are harboring unforgiveness against him. He said, oh, no, he did me wrong, and he's going to pay. Well, you know what? Before the year was out, we had to let that student go from school because he began to rebel against all the rules. He said, well, I don't understand why we have to do this. I don't understand why. I don't know, have to obey that. And at the beginning of the school year, he was a model student, had great promise, but he began to allow a grudge of unforgiveness in his heart, and it took him down a wrong path. Let me show you what happens when you start holding unforgiveness or a grudge against somebody. The same thing happens that happens in your arteries. If a little fat starts to get in there, and before you know it, some more will catch on, and some more will catch on, and some more, until you have a clogged artery. Am I right or wrong? And sometimes they can go in there and use a balloon and get it out, or they can go in a little Roto-Rooter deal and get it out. Sometimes they have to have open heart surgery, but something has to be done to clear it up. Do you know that happens in the spiritual realm? When you have unforgiveness and bitterness and holding a grudge against somebody, there it is. Now things start to happen and things start to collect. And pretty soon, the channel is stopped up. Your flow with God has shut down. Hey, the only way to handle that is to get on your knees and ask for forgiveness. Let the knife of the Holy Spirit clean out your spiritual artery so that everything starts flowing again. Yeah. You see, I refuse to let what people say bother me. I refuse. And I've had plenty of opportunity. I still have plenty of opportunity. Because, you see, I can't afford what they say. I can't afford to let it bother me, and I can't afford to hold it against them. I say, Lord, forgive them. They don't understand. And I go on. Now, it's up to them whatever they're going to do with what they're saying, you know. You know, sometimes I've said something to somebody. In fact, just the other day I said something. I was a little sharp, and I went back to the person and said, hey, I'm sorry I was a little sharp. But he said, oh, I didn't pay any attention to it. I said, well, I don't know. I still believe I need to ask you to forgive me. And you know, if somebody has wronged you, you forgive that person. Don't hold it against them. Now, whatever they do with it, that's their business. But you're the one that's going to have to answer to God for you and what you do, not what they do, not what they say, so forth and so on. You know, back when I was a teenager, and we had conventions, and so all the preachers are down there on the main floor, and us kids, teenagers, we're up there in the balcony, all us preachers' kids, and they're talking about something. It was a business meeting, and they're going back and forth, you know, about this, and so one guy's daddy got up and said something, and then another guy's dad got up and said something against him. Well, up there among us teens, they didn't let it bother them. They were just talking, but we started taking it personally up there, and before you know it, fists were flying. Hello. Well, how many of you guys are teenagers? When you were a teenager, something happened and you let a fist fly. Anybody with me? Well, I got a few people that said no. I even saw some of the ladies sort of halfway raise their hands up too. Well, you know, later on, I asked this one old boy, I said, "Hey, man," he said, "Oh, it was just then. Don't worry about it," you know. But I still felt like that I needed to ask for forgiveness. But you see, the Word of God says, "Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, there's a difference between getting upset and holding a grudge. Hello? I mean, we all get upset. I mean, if you got any gumption, I say where I come from, you're going to get upset about something occasionally, but you don't have to let it escalate into unforgiveness. See, now, this doesn't mean that you're going to agree with everybody on everything. But a fellow that has my same name, Kenneth Hagin, he said you can agree to disagree. And I know for a fact that there's several ministers that he's was friends with. And I said, "Dad, you're friend with them and they don't believe like you do." He said, "That's all right. We've agreed to disagree." Neither one of them holding anything against the other. They just agreed to disagree. Then, you know, you can disagree agreeably without getting upset and holding a grudge and having unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody. Now, Paul, in his writings, if you want to look at this, Paul, in his writings in Galatians 5:6 said, faith works through love. See, love isn't bothered by what somebody says. Love overlooks. Love forgets. Love lets it go. You see, when you truly love somebody, you can forget their failings and their mistakes. See, when you truly forgive, you forget. You let it go. Hello, the Word says that He forgive our sins and He forgot them. Doesn't it? So if He does it that way, then we need to do it that way. If you want to have strong faith, then you need to forgive. Now, go back there. It says, when you stand praying, what do you supposed to do? Forgive. When you stand praying, Amplified says, when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop, leave it, let it go. In other words, that's the way it is. See, this ought to be one of the foremost things in our minds, the fact when somebody has done us wrong, the first thing we ought to think about is forgiving that person. That's the first thing, instead of, well, I'll tell you what, every dog has this day, and I guarantee you, you're going to have your day. That's unforgiveness. That's harboring a grudge. Come on. Without forgiveness, it's impossible for your faith to work, because it's impossible for you to walk in love if you're in unforgiveness. It's impossible. You can't do it. A person who has wronged you has to answer to God. You don't have to answer to God for them, but you have to answer to God yourself, whether you allow it to affect you to the point that it hinders you from receiving blessing. Yes. You know, I left the church there in Garland, where I was associate pastor, my father-in-law, in 1972 to go work with Dad. And I mean, my preacher friends, but guys I went to Bible school with, guys that, you know, we were friends. They were pastoring churches. You know, they said, "Oh, you're just missing it. You're getting out of the will of God. You're missing it." They were talking all kinds of things. Then I'm traveling with Dad, doing as his crusade director and doing some other things. But I also was accepting meetings, so I went. I was in a denomination at that time, and I went to one of the meetings. And these guys that had talked against me, here I'm scheduling meetings, and they know that I'm available, but they're scheduling these first year Bible college students, you know, to come and speak. And the one guy that had said really a lot about how bad I was missing God and talked about me and so forth and so on, you know, later on, I didn't hold it again, but later on, after a few years, and I'd been around the world preaching in Jabalon Stadium there in Soweto, South Africa, about 10,000 people, and had other great meetings. Now I see him, and he said, "Oh man, hey, I need you to come. I need you to come and help my church." And I wanted to tell him, "Hey," I said, "when I needed you, you didn't need me, and now I don't need you. You need me, I don't need you." Because you see, I don't mean it's egotistic, but I've gotten up here somewhere where I've got more places to go speak than I got more invitations than I can get to. But you know, and I wanted to tell him, I want to tell you, it entered my mind. I wanted to tell him, "Hey, but when I needed you, you didn't need me. Now I don't, you need me and I don't need you. Bye." But I didn't. I just said, "Well, praise the Lord. Hey, if I ever feel like the Lord would have me to come," I said, my schedule is full right now, but if I ever feel like the Lord want me to come, I'll come." And I would have. But I never did feel like the Lord needed me to come there. And then besides that, then it wasn't too long till that denomination decided that I didn't need to be with them any longer. And so that sort of ended that, so that's that. But I just said, "Lord, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing." You know, that's what you have to do. If you can't go contrary to God's word and expect things to happen for you. I mean, you know, a lot of people, they want this, they want prosperity, they want blessing, they want faith, but then they don't want to do some of the other things that the Word of God talks about. You know, a guy can talk about, "Oh, God bless me, I need you to bless, I need finances," but if they never give, God can't bless them because they're not walking in the fullness of the Word of God. What am I trying to talk to you about tonight? I'm talking to you that if you are not in forgiveness, you're cutting off the flow. Hello. You know, you see, I got a little switch on this microphone right here, and turn that switch on and there's amplification. That's what happens to you when you're holding grudges and you're not walking in line with God's word. You can talk all you want to on this side, but if you're not doing what you need to over here, that's like me turning this switch. That's like, you're stopping the flow. When I hit that switch, I stop this transmitter from sending out a signal to that antenna, wherever they got it now. Where's the antenna? Huh? Oh, behind the drums. Yeah, there it's over there in the corner behind the drums. So you see, it sends out a signal, but I stop the flow. But once I hit the switch, it starts flowing again and everything goes. That's what happens to you when you get unforgiveness in your heart and you start talking against somebody. That's what happens. You shut the flow down. You've got to walk in, my dad used to say it, he said, you've got to walk in all of the word, not just the faith part. And some people never got this, but he used to talk about walking in judgment. He said, if you judge yourself, God won't have to judge you. The Bible talks about that. You see, a lot of people try to tell me, said, oh, you're saying things he don't ever, I said, hey, did you live in his house? Did you grow up in his house? Have you got his DNA flowing in your blood? Man, God's trying to tell me, he didn't talk about judgment. I said, I know he did. I heard him preach it, you know. And talking about unforgiveness, I've heard him preach. That's where you think I got all the stuff that I preach in the first place. From sitting and listening to him from the time I can remember. I was born one Sunday morning and he was a pastor. The next Sunday morning I was in church and I've listened to him preach more messages than you've forgot. I forgot more than you've heard, probably. Would probably be a better way to say it. And that's where I learned all this. So, hey, just because I'm saying something about unforgiveness and you needing to forgive, he had taught this. He taught this to me. He said, son, don't cut yourself off from the flow of God by holding unforgiveness against somebody. You know, and I said, because when I was, a teenager, I said, Dad, why are you letting them people talk about you like that? I said, why don't we do something about it? I said, I'm ready to go out there and give somebody a knuckle sandwich. I was. He said, son, don't worry about it. Forgive them. I said, it's one preacher's guy. He's about 16, 17. We was traveling all over, and this preacher, he is giving Dad a bad mouth, and Dad, and it upset me. And I said, he's got a boy about my age. I think I just go whip him. Dad said, you can't do that, son. I probably would have done it if he hadn't stopped me. But hey, they saying all this bad thing about my dad. I'm gonna do something about it. If we're not careful, that's the way we begin to think when people talk against us, when they do things against us. But we've got to say, okay, Father, forgive them. I forgive them. You forgive them. I pray for them. Hello. You know, many churches have problems in the congregation because somebody in that congregation gets upset. And I grew up in some of those churches. My dad pastored some of them, you know, where you got people on this side and people on this side and nobody steps across the aisle to talk to the people on the other side. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I got some people that's been in some of those churches, you know. Well, bless God, I can sing better than so-and-so. I don't know what in the world they got them up there for. And I know good and well ain't Luli can play the piano better than who they got up there. And they get to talking, and then all the other people, some people join in with them. So you got this group over here, you got this group over here, and now the preacher's up there trying to preach and trying to get a move of God, and you got so much strife and so much unforgiveness and grudges against the people there, the Spirit of God couldn't move if he wanted to. Because the people are stopping it up. You know, the last church Dad pastored, nobody wanted it. There wasn't one person that put their name in to go to that church. And God dealt with my dad and told him, you're going to go down there and pastor. And in fact, when we got there, that's where I started the school, there in Van, Texas. When we got there, we had to stay with one of the deacons, our Brother Haynes's, because they couldn't get the former pastor out of the parsonage. And he had tore up the church, and we had to had to work on the parsonage once we got in there. In fact, when we moved in, there was a bathroom there, but all the fixtures there, but it had never been hooked up, and the church had taken up money for him to hook the bathroom, the plumbers to hook, and he went off and spent the money on something else. That's just part of the story, okay? It was really bad, you know. And man, that church was in such, unforgivingness, because they had been done wrong and so forth and so on. And I asked Dad later, years later, I said, Dad, I said, I was in the first, second, third grade, and I said, I knew what was going on. I said, man, those people, every time we come to church, they're talking about the pastor, the former pastor, and I'm wondering if this pastor is going to do the same thing. And I said, how in the world? Because when you left that church, there was over 120 applicants wanting to take that church. And I said, how in the world did you handle it? He said, son, I just got up there and preached on love and forgiveness for about 3 months. Till the people got a hold of it, because it turned into a good church. But you see, if people, instead of getting upset, said, well, praise the Lord, I guess the pastor knows what he's doing, instead of speaking unforgiveness and bad things out of their mouth, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Lord bless our church, amen. See, that's acting in love. See, the words of your mouth will snare you. You all know what Proverbs 6:2. You are snared. Another translation says taken captive by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Words are filled with something. That's what we say down home where I come from. But something, they're containers. They're either filled with doubt, unbelief, hate. Are they filled with love, joy, peace, faith, goodness? Hello. Forgive and keep a good report. Say something good or don't say something at all. My father-in-law used to tell a story about the meanest man in town died. Now all these people were going up there standing around the casket. And there's this one man, he never said anything bad about anybody. And everybody was wondering what he was going to say about this guy, because there wasn't nothing good to say about him. And so he stood at the casket for quite a while. And finally he turned around and he said, well, he did have pretty teeth, didn't he? He found something good to say. He didn't. Everybody else was talking about how bad he was, and he found something good to say. What I'm saying to you is, find something good to say about somebody, okay? You know, as y'all know, I was in the Army from 62 to 65, and I worked in radio communications, and I did landline, well as comm center, as well as radio, teletype, Morse code, voice, radio. And back then, I don't know what they do in the digital days. I'm going back to the 60s now. We didn't have digital back then. And when we were, when I was in that hut, my deuce and a half hut, and I was tuning that radio down, you have to get it right on. And it hits the bottom. If it starts up the other side, you've missed it. You got to go back down. You know, on your car radio, well, they're digital now. You can't hardly do it. But when the old dial radios, you know, if it wasn't quite clear, you would have to tweak that dial just a hair to get it in. Either you were off station, or you were too far from the antenna to receive it. And, you know, and that's what we would do with those. You know, I may be doing Morse code or voice, and all of a sudden stuff starts to garbling a little bit. Well, I retune this, and if it's still that way, then I go over. And I got an antenna tuning unit, and I start tuning that antenna, giving more power to that antenna. You know, one time we were on exercise, Swift Track 3, and we were doing exercise, and I'm back in Fort Bragg, and A Company is down, and B Company and C Company are all down out in the field. And so Colonel Odeker came out one night to my hut, and he said, Hagin, I haven't heard from Lieutenant so-and-so in 3 days. Can you raise him? I said, yeah, but I'm going to have to break regulations. He said, well, I need to talk to him. So I said, okay. I said, shut that door, and I shut my hatch down, because I knew whenever I tuned that antenna up, and I knew that the minute that I started pressing that key, that those sparks were going to come off. You ever see, they draw those deals, lightning-like deals coming off? Well, actually, at night, you can, if that antenna is tuned really strong, you can actually see those coming off of that antenna. You can see them coming off that antenna. And so, but see, I would have to tune it. I had to tune in. You know, that's what you need to do sometimes. If you got unforgiveness, you gotta retune. It'll get you off course. It'll get you what you don't want to hear. You see, you know, many people have trouble on their job and say, well, bless God, I'm not going to let them get away with that. And if that other person makes a mistake, man, they make sure that everybody knows that they made the mistake. They harbor unforgiveness, and they wonder why they're not getting promoted. You need to realize that many people get in trouble because they see somebody else do something wrong, and instead of doing what the Word of God says, they begin to harbor unforgiveness against them and begin to talk about them. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. See, even if what it says, if you see somebody taken in a wrong, Paul didn't say, if you're spiritual, get on the telephone and go out and tell everybody about it. He said, for you, that if you're spiritual, restore such a one or pray about it, lest also, you know, keep your mouth shut. In other words, I didn't say it'd be easy. It's not easy to forgive and forget, but you can do it. If you don't forgive and forget, you are going to put yourself in a position where you can't receive all the benefits that God has for you. Every time that I want to let a little bitterness and a little unforgiveness get into me, I begin to think about Jesus. And I said, well, nobody put a crown of thorns on my head yet. Nobody has beaten my back bloody. Nobody has put nails in my hands. All I've had to endure is a little tongue lashing. Come on. The Holy Spirit will help you to forgive and forget if you'll let him. You have to let him. He said here in the Amplified Bible, John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. And that word used there for comforter is the word paraclete, which means all of these: comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. The Holy Spirit is your helper. If you choose to forgive and forget, the Holy Spirit will help you. But he's not going to help you if you're holding a grudge and if you're harboring. You see, we are free to choose. We can choose whether to forgive or we can choose not to forgive. It's up to us. You see, and it's not up to anybody else. In fact, the Holy Spirit's wanting to help you, but until you choose to forgive, he can't. See, he's there. He'd like to put his hand over your mouth and say, hey, be quiet, don't say that. He would like to tap you on the head and say, hey, don't think those thoughts of unforgiveness. But he can't unless we allow him to. You can choose to speak faith words. You can choose to speak loving words. You can choose not to talk evil. You can choose not to harbor anything against anybody else. It's up to you. It's your choice. You can choose to talk about the goodness of God, how great it is to be alive. You can choose to say, I forgive that person, Lord. Bless them and help them. Pray for them. You know, one of the places Jesus said, pray for those that despitefully use you. That would be the same thing, those that do you wrong. So it's up to you. Unforgiveness can stop your faith from working. Unforgiveness will stop the flow of God coming to you. It's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to somebody else to pray for you. It's up to you to say, Lord, I forgive. Now help me to walk in forgiveness. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for just a few minutes tonight about a subject that is vitally important if they're going to receive all that that you have for them. And that is to walk in forgiveness, to forgive and to forget, and allow you to help them to do so. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to rededicate. I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand. Now, I want everybody here, nobody looking around. And if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, you sort of hit a nerve with me, and I need to be sure that I forgive. I've been holding something. Let me see your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come down. Just let me see your hand, wherever you're at. Keep your hand up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these honest people, Father. I thank you that you'd minister to them, help them, Father, to walk in forgiveness and let the power of God flow in their life. Amen and amen and amen. Well, praise God. Everybody stand up, please. I went fast, but I wanted to get it all in, okay? Did anybody get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Well, next Sunday night, we're going to have the soup or bowl, B-O-W. We're going to eat a bowl of soup. We're going to eat a bowl of chili. We're going to have some fellowship. And we're going to watch a little football. But then I'm going to talk to you about, you know, walking with God. I don't know what I'll say, but I'll find something to say. I always do. But remember, right now, we're going to have to move the table, move the chairs, and then we're going to have to set the tables up. Brother Greg will direct you. Oh, you wanted me to pray over prayer cloths? Okay. Oh, hey, anybody need prayer for healing?
Yeah.
Okay, and here's some prayer cloths.
Okay, this is for my son.
Okay.
Father,
in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for the anointing of the power of God that flow into these cloths, and when they're taking the sick and afflicting, that power will flow out and flow in healing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we'll see you next Sunday night, 5:30. Remember, 30 minutes early, okay? 5:30. We'll see you. God bless.